Afternoon, ladies and gentlemen. I'd like a copy of God's Word here to distribute and speak of the Word of God. It is the faultless Holy Scriptures as they are known, and we offer to you a copy of them, New Testament in its entirety, offered to you freely, without cost or obligation to you. If you'd like to have one, then do feel free to come and ask for one. Word of God is, Bible, it says, you know, that the flower fades and the grass withers, but the Word of God shall stand forever. Heaven and earth may pass away, but the Word of God never shall. When you're gone, when I'm gone, when you're in 6 feet of earth and your body lies molding in the grave and your soul goes to wherever God has determined it to go, the Word of God, when your voice is silenced and your eyes are closed in death, the Word of God will still go marching on. Men and women have fought against it, argued against it, debated against it, railed against it, and they are gone, and the Word of God continues on, as it ever shall. It cannot be gainsaid. You can argue, you can fight, you can squabble again God, but you're on the losing side right from the very beginning. So we ask you, we invite you to take a copy of God's Word for yourself, look into it, see that these things that we speak of here this afternoon are in accordance with the Word of God, and who knows, with our praying for you, who knows, but maybe God will cause the light to shine into your heart and mind and give you spiritual understanding of these things. Because you see, you can read the Bible and you can understand it on an intellectual level, but of course these things are spiritually discerned, and unless God gives you that spiritual understanding, that is, removes the blindness of your heart, the blindness of your mind, and shines the light into your heart and mind, I confess you'll never, never understand what the Word of God is about. You'd like a copy, then do feel free to come and ask us for one. Gladly place one into your hands. In the Bible, and of course in the New Testament in particular, we read in the book of Galatians this afternoon, grace to you. That's what God has, grace for sinners. Not so much religion, but grace. It's grace that we need, and grace, of course, is that which we don't deserve. You don't deserve. We deserve, on the other hand, we deserve punishment, the penalty for our sins, which, of course, its wages are still death. In case you hadn't noticed, all men die. And why do all men die? Why do they have to die? Young lady asked the question of me some while back now. Why do people have to die, she said. Well, the answer to that, the truthful answer to that is, of course, because all men are sinners. And the only way, of course, in which you'll ever prove that you're not a sinner is by not dying. If you do not die, then we'll all rejoice with you and we'll declare that you're not a sinner. But don't hold your breath in that, because you might just die. No, grace, friends, grace is what we need, and grace is what God offers you in the gospel of His Son, Jesus Christ. Grace is the free merit of God. It's that you don't work for, can't be religious for, respectable for, or do anything for. Because the moment that you say you have to do something for it, well then, it's no longer grace. It's no longer a gift. You've earned it, you see. But you cannot earn God's favor. You cannot earn God's salvation. It's a given. It's the gift of God. The wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. So grace to you, grace to you, the Bible says. Grace is offered to you where? In the gospel, in the gospel alone, the good news concerning God's Son, Jesus Christ. The Bible tells us elsewhere that the law, as God's commandments, came by Moses, but grace and truth came by Jesus Christ. He came to reveal the grace, the free grace of God to us. And of course, because He came, lived and died and rose again from the dead, that grace can be offered to you here this afternoon. Because salvation, you see, is gotten by the merits of another, the righteousness of another. You dare not, my friends, stand before God in that day in your own righteousness. You must find the righteousness of a man who has never sinned. Well, you say, where on earth will I find such as that? Well, you won't. You'll only find Him in heaven. You'll only find Him at the right hand of God. Jesus, the Son of God. He is the one. His righteousness. And of course, that salvation that He has purchased for us, that we could not purchase, we could not work for ourselves. Grace to you. From our Lord Jesus Christ. You see, He's the one, He's the person from whom it comes. There is salvation in no other name, the Bible says, under the entire canopy of heaven, whereby a person must be saved. I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. Jesus says so. God sent His Son Jesus into the world that through Him that the world might be saved. No other person, no other appointed, anointed Savior sent from God. You what, sir? How you doing, sir? You having a good day? Huh? So you see, friends, it's the person of Jesus. I know, yeah, we got a lot of religious folk in Stafford these days, just like everywhere else, you know. And maybe you say, well, you know, I got my own particular religion. We got a lot of people saying things like that, you know. I got my own religion. How you doing, sir? Thank you, sir. Thank you, sir. God bless you. So like I say, you know, it's... I got my own religion, you know, that I was brought up with, and you know, my own fancy, if you like, you know, what I fancy to be right, fancy to be true. But here's the thing, friends, you know, it's not what you fancy, it's not what you think, you know, it's what God thinks and what God says. There's only one truth, there can only be one truth, not more than one. And friends, the truth is revealed to us in Holy Scripture, in the words of Jesus Himself. You see, the Bible in its entirety is His Word. He has revealed these things to us. And of course, God, you see, has put His approval on the person and of His Word and His Son, Jesus Christ. You say, how? How do you know that? Well, we know it from the Bible. We know it, friends, from the person of the Lord Jesus Christ, from whom the grace comes to you. You can't get the grace of God from anybody else but the Son of God, Jesus Christ. Grace from our Lord Jesus Christ. You see, friends, when Jesus rose from the dead, that was the sign of God's approval on the person and the work of His Son. If Jesus had remained in the grave, and please, before you start arguing about that, we got historical proof. You know, there's nothing been examined microscopically more than the death and resurrection of God's Son, Jesus Christ. Proves again and again and again to be historically factual. If Jesus had remained in the grave, in the tomb, the world could have forgotten all about Him. Everything that He ever said and did, it would have meant nothing at all. But why is it the world can't forget Him? Why is it that His name is not going away? Why is it that people can't get rid of Him, even though they try? Because He rose again from the dead, mighty from the grave. God's approval, God's rubber stamping, the person and the work of His Son, Jesus Christ. That grace might be offered to you, presented to you here this afternoon. The free grace of God, the gift of salvation, eternal life, forgiveness of your sins. Oh, dear friends, even your very own resurrection to eternal life rather than to eternal damnation. Dear friends, grace is what God offers to you, and it comes to you from our Lord Jesus Christ, who gave Himself for our sins. He gave Himself, you see, willingly, voluntarily, and lovingly. You could read John 3:16, which I'm sure you've heard many times. For God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son. You could read it this way. For Jesus so loved the world that He gave Himself up to the death of the cross, that whoever believes in Him should not perish but have everlasting life. Jesus gave Himself. His life was not taken from Him. He surrendered it. He gave it up, friends. I have power, He says, to lay down my life and to take it again. No man ever said and did that. And no man has ever did and said that since Jesus Christ said it and did it. But He did exactly what He said. I have power. I have power to lay down my life. And He did. He laid it down on the cross. He yielded His life up to the death of the cross. Obedience to His Father's will. He gave Himself. And why? He gave Himself up to the death of the cross. Why? For our sins, that you might be forgiven. And before, please, before anyone expostulates, I have no sin, I have never sinned, I've never done anything wrong in my life. Oh, dear friends, for all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. None righteous, no, not one. None that doeth good, says God. We're all like a filthy, unclean thing in the sight of God. Your righteousnesses, that's the best of your deeds, are all like filthy rags, says God, in His sight. God of purer eyes than to behold evil. And that's all of us, from our mother's womb, conceived in wickedness, conceived in uncleanness. You cannot get a clean thing out of an unclean thing. How can you get clean children out of unclean parents? This is impossible with you, with anybody. No, friends, we're born in sin, conceived in sin, shaping in iniquity, and before you even speak your first word, you have sinned against the Almighty God. So friends, Jesus gave Himself for our sins, that we might be forgiven, that we might be pardoned, and that we might go to heaven. Jesus laid down His life voluntarily. Christ, such as his love for sinners, ruined, lost sinners, such as yourselves. Oh, have you ever known, experienced love such as this? Do you know? I don't ask you, are you religious? I don't ask you, do you pay lip service to some kind of religion? I don't even ask you if you, subscribe to the notion that there is a God. I ask you, do you know your sins are forgiven? And if you are, if you do happen to be religious, do you know that your sins are forgiven? Because if your religiosity does not assure you that your sins are forgiven, may I suggest that you get rid of it and get the grace of God. Ah, grace to you from our Lord Jesus Christ, who gave himself for our sins, that our sins might be taken away. He died to take them away. How does he take them away? By his death, you see, his atoning death, by his blood shed on the cross. He's called elsewhere in the Bible the Lamb of God, who takes away the sin of the world. But here's the thing, my friends, here's the danger that you're in. If Jesus does not take, if the Lamb of God does not take your sin away, well, your sin will take you away one day and take you to a place, believe me, you do not want to go, because that's the end of sin. That's the full-blown consequences of your sin. Eternal, everlasting lostness instead of eternal, everlasting life. So you see, Jesus gave himself. He went to the bother. He went to the trouble. He stepped down into the sin-cursed world, rubbed shoulders with sinful men and women, and yet never tainted, never touched by their sin. Pure, holy, blameless, the precious Lamb of God, the Son of God, never, never had the taint of sin upon him. But that, of course, is what qualified him to be our sin bearer, to die in our place, to take the place, to take the room of the sinner. He gave himself for our sins, that our sins might be taken away, and that you might be clear before God, that you might be justified before God, right with God. For time and for eternity, for when God justifies, when a sinner believes in Jesus, truly believes in Jesus, I tell you, God judges, God puts on the judge's cap, and he brings down the gavel, and he makes the declaration, justified, righteous. And that for time and for eternity, a decision, a declaration by God that can never, never be reversed. Safe in the arms of Jesus, safe for time and safe for eternity when Jesus takes your sin away. Oh, this is the grace. This is the grace of God. Not worked for, not earned. You don't deserve it. It's the last thing that you deserve. Wicked, evil, filthy sinners that we all of us are. Last thing that we deserve. But it's what God offers you in the gospel. How you doing, young man? Having a good day? You a believer, sir?
Believe in what? Fairy tales?
No.
Believe in a tooth fairy?
No.
I believe in a tooth fairy.
Good for you, sir. Good luck with that.
Because I've got
so like
faith
I say,
in the tooth fairy.
As I was saying, friends, the Bible, the truth of God is that the grace of God, the grace of God, friends, offered to you through our Lord Jesus Christ, whom we declare to you this afternoon. It's a free offer. And the only free offer in Stafford this afternoon, any day of the week. But of course, we're quite used to this. We're quite used to this. We like it because it makes more of you listen. So wind it up, pal. Wind it up. We want an audience. We want you to get an audience.
No,
because you're all. We don't talk to unclean mouth people, sir. Go and wash your mouth. Go and wash your mouth out. Go and wash your mouth out. The grace of God's what we're talking about, friends. And it's an offence to the perishing. It's an offence to the ungodly. It's an offence to unbelief. And it's evidence, it's proof, you see, it's proof of the matter, you see, that there's enmity in the hearts of men and women against God. Yeah?
You should do. Stop
if you didn't, if you, if it wasn't true, men and women wouldn't be angry. They wouldn't be angry. That's why he's angry, because it's true. Because it's true what God says. Enmity in the hearts of men and women against the gospel of God's Son, Jesus Christ. Thanks for the crowd, sir. Thanks for the crowd. Grace of God, friends. The grace of God that brings salvation. That brings salvation, friends. The forgiveness of your sins. The enmity taken out of your heart and given a love for God, a love for His Word, and a love for holiness. Oh, dear friends, grace, grace, multiplied grace through our Lord Jesus Christ, whom we declare to you today. You see, somebody, every week we come out here, somebody proves the matter, you know? God says the carnal mind is enmity against God. They can't hide it. Out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaketh, Jesus says. You know, and that enmity is in the heart. It comes spilling out in rage and anger. Here's the thing, friends. I don't believe in your Santa Claus. I don't believe in your Santa Claus. But in December, when you start speaking about him, I don't get angry. I don't get bent out of shape over it. I just laugh and move on. But we talk to you about God, and you get bent out of shape, you get angry, you fall into a rage like that man just a few minutes ago. You proved the very point that God makes. The carnal mind is enmity against God. There is an ingrained, natural hatred for God, and that's why Jesus says, you must be born again. He must be born again by the supernatural, miraculous grace of God. That enmity, that hatred for God must needs be removed.
Yeah.
And only the grace of God can do it. Not something you can do. Not something I can do. Only God Himself, by the operations of His grace, through the gospel that we declare to you this afternoon, our Lord Jesus Christ, who gave Himself for our sins, that He might deliver us from the present evil world. To deliver us, not just forgiveness. Forgiveness is a need. Oh yes, you need the forgiveness of your fellow man, your siblings, your spouse maybe. I don't know. But friends, sin is committed ultimately against God. It's against God that you sin. It's God that you've offended. His love that you've offended. His holiness that you've offended. It's His forgiveness that you need. And forgiveness obtained, of course, is wonderful, is gracious, is mighty. Oh, there's nothing like it. You know, to lay your head down on the pillow of a night time and know all is well between you and your Maker. That you have peace with God. That you have the peace of God in your heart and soul. But friends, there are many people who have been living in sin for so long, so deeply entrenched in sinful practices, that they need deliverance as well. They need deliverance by Jesus Christ. They need to be delivered from the power, from the grip, the vice-like grip of sin. It may be drugs, it may be immorality, it may be alcohol, it may be gossiping, it may be hatred, it can be all manner of things, but so gripped by it, you try and try, you fight, you try all kinds of human means to get yourself released from such sinful practices, but to no avail, because sin is too strong, too powerful for you. You need the deliverance that only Jesus Christ, the Son of God, Himself can bring to you. But I tell you one word from Him, a word of power from Jesus, and that deliverance comes. But that's why He came. That's why He gave Himself up to the death of the cross, that we might be not just forgiven, but delivered from the power of sin. And I don't suppose for a moment, my friends, that it's not true that there are many, many souls in the town of Stafford today who are in need of deliverance. The deliverance that only my Lord Jesus Christ can afford them. Many, many people whose lives are broken, minds are broken. Maybe some, perhaps half of your patients in St. George's could be evacuated this afternoon. Were they delivered from the power of sin? Ah, there's power. There's power in the blood. There's power in the gospel. It's the power of God unto salvation. It's almighty power. There's no other power that can resist it. Not all the powers of hell, not all the powers of evil, not all the powers of the world, not all the powers of an angry, sinful nature can resist the power of God. Thou canst make me clean, one man asked Jesus, thou canst make me clean. I am, said Jesus, I am, be clean. And the man instantly was cleansed of his terrible, awful disease. So you see, friends, it's the gospel. It's the grace of God that you need. Not so much religion. Not so much religion and not so much unbelief. Friends, the gospel, faith in the gospel. Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ is God's command. The promise is, thou shalt be saved. Salvation that comes to you by the grace of God. Our Lord Jesus Christ who gave Himself for our sins, that He might deliver us from this present evil world. And is it not an evil world, friends? Does it not appear to you, as it does to me, to grow more evil by the day? Some people think that we stand on the brink of the Third World War. I mean, what would that be like? I don't know. But that aside, dear friends, the evil, the wickedness that abounds in your world today, is it not awful? But of course, just as God's Word says it would be, that things would grow worse, that evil men would wax worse and worse as time goes on. The Bible does not say that things will grow better but worse before the end. Before the judgment day of God, the day of God's wrath. But of course, friends, it's plain, is it not, to you? It's plain to you. You know, the evil that abounds in this present evil age from which Jesus Christ would deliver you from. You say, well, how can a person live? How can a person escape? How can a person be delivered from such an evil age as this? Well, by being born again, as Jesus says you must be. Entrance into the kingdom of God. That's how. Oh, friends, eternal life, the kingdom of God, to enter in by way of repentance and faith towards the Son of God, our Lord Jesus Christ, and deliverance from this evil age. Now, friends, it's going to get worse, you know. Seems to me like, you know, just as God's Word says, the world, in fact, is degenerating. And of course, that's an argument against your evolution. You know, if you're evolving, well, you're not evolving very fast. If you're evolving, doesn't that mean you're getting better? If evolution were true, I mean, you say that you used to be monkeys and apes and now you're human beings. Well, what are you going to be next? But it seems to me that you're regressing, that you're going back the way. Soon you'll be monkeys and apes again, if that were true. But of course it's not. And just like God's word says, the world is degenerating. It's not developing, it's not evolving. The very opposite, friends. But if you persist, you keep on telling people that they came from animals, well, don't be surprised if they start behaving like animals shortly thereafter. Now, it's an evil age, and it's not going to get better anytime soon, so you best to get out of it. As old John Bunyan in The Pilgrim's Progress used to say, you're living in a city of destruction and you need to get out of it. Out of it, delivered. Delivered from it into the kingdom of God and get on your pilgrimage on the way to heaven, traveling the narrow pathway with Jesus all the way to glory. Two pathways that Jesus talks about, the broad road and the narrow, the straight gate and the wide gate. One leads to eternal destruction and the other to everlasting life. Of course, the narrow one's not quite so popular. Not quite so many that travel down that pathway. That's because it's not quite so easy. That's because it's not quite so comfortable. That's because you're not quite so popular in traveling down the narrow pathway. But it does. The end of it is everlasting life. Of course, you can stay on the broad road. You can remain in the city of destruction. But I have to assure you that you will go up in smoke with it. Now, friends, before it's destroyed, before you're destroyed, before you breathe your last, before you get out of this world, get the grace of God into you. And that's no small thing. That's no easy thing either. Yes, it's a gift. But here you are in Stafford today, and you're not even convinced of your sinful state and condition. You're not even convinced of your depravity. You're not even convinced of your desperate, desperate, dangerous need of the grace of God. So before you're ever going to get the grace of God into you, that will save you, that will deliver you, and that will bring you to heaven, well, you first of all gotta be convinced of the awful, dreadful state of your nature. The appalling, appalling state of your sin. It's wickedness, it's evil, it's filth, because that's what we are, a mess of filth before God. Depraved and sinful and desperately wicked. Hearts that are deceitful. God says, his indictment, not mine. His description of you, not mine. But unless you're convinced, I mean, if you don't know that you're sick, if you do not believe that you're sick, well, you're not going to go to the doctor. You're not going to seek out a physician. You're not going to go to A&E. You're not going to go to the emergency services if you don't know that you're sick. And if you don't know that you're depraved and sinful and desperately wicked before God, well, you're not going to seek after a Savior. You're not going to look for a way out. You're not going to look for a way of escape. But there is a way of escape. And that way of escape is Jesus. That's His name. It means Savior. And He came to rescue. He came to give Himself for our sins and to deliver us from this present evil world according to the will of God and our Father. His obedience The obedience of Jesus leads to the grace of God, the salvation of God, the mercy of God, the forgiveness of God, the deliverance of God. The obedience of Jesus. He obeyed His Father. He stepped down into this world, took upon Him the form of humanity, the form of a servant, and walked in perfect obedience to His Father's will. Even right to the end, right to the point of death, death on the cross. That you might be saved. You say that's awful extreme measures to go to. But that's because of the extremity of your and my sin. If you only knew. I tell you, if God was to reveal to you the extent, the true extent of your sin, you would be crushed beyond belief. There is not a man, not a woman on the face of this earth who could bear that. Such is the degree and the appallingness of human sin. Now, I know it's your entertainment. I know you like it. I know you love it. Did you get them, sir? Good, that's good. We're waiting for them. Like I say, friends, you know, it's your entertainment. You love it. You love the stuff. You're on your television screens, your internet screens, the fornicating, the adultery, all the unclean stuff. They wouldn't be... That's you, sir, that's you. They wouldn't be selling the stuff if you didn't like it. There has to be a market, you know? And you're the market. You love the stuff. They know that. That's why they produce it. Yeah, it's your entertainment. But I tell you, you incur the fury, the anger of God. When the Bible says that the wrath of God is revealed from heaven against the ungodliness and unrighteousness of men who hold the truth in unrighteousness. That word wrath, friends, it means the burning fury, indignance of God against human sin and against that suppression of the truth. The knowledge of God, which you have, that God has manifest in you, shown to you, and He says that you even clearly understand. Evolution is a lie out of the pit of hell, given to you by the devil on a plate to blind you to the reality of God, the reality of your sin, and the reality of your need. To populate hell with you, as many of you as He can get there. Let the Word of God open your eyes, your ears, your hearts. Let the Word of God change and transform you by the grace of God offered to you in the Gospel, the good news concerning God's Son, Jesus Christ. Grace to you and peace from God the Father, from our Lord Jesus Christ, who gave Himself for our sins that He might deliver us from this present evil age. That's the gospel. That's the good news, that sinners, wicked and depraved though they be, they can be saved. Saved, Stafford. Salvation is what's on offer. Salvation by the grace of God, the free grace of God, presented, offered to you here this afternoon. Free grace offered to you, the gift of God. In the Bible, in the New Testament, you can read the words of Jesus. You can read these words that I've spoken to you here this afternoon. Look at Galatians, check it out for yourself and see. Word of God that is able to make you wise unto salvation. Offered to you freely, yours for the taking, no cost, no obligation to you. Simply to take, friends. Do it as you will. And friends, in reading, meditating upon it, Friends, perhaps, who knows, maybe God will shine the light into your heart and mind and reveal the knowledge of His grace to you in His Son, Jesus Christ. Words of Jesus recorded here in the New Testament. Repent ye and believe the gospel. Repent ye and believe